Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program you're listening to. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. We have got a lot to discuss this half hour, but before we do, Steve, get into the news.
Yeah.
You experienced a miracle on Saturday, didn't you?
I did.
You watched it.
I did experience a miracle. I guess all miracles don't have to be good necessarily, right?
Depends on the...
So my wife, Heather, and I, Heather is a big Alabama fan, Roll Tide. I have to say that. It's in my marriage contract.
Okay. Right.
So Heather and I went up to Nashville this weekend to go to the Alabama Vanderbilt game. Before the game, the band went out on the field. Vanderbilt's band went out on the field. And I told the guy standing next to me, I said, you might want to listen to their fight song because you probably won't hear it again for the rest of the game. Boy, was I wrong.
There's something in the Bible about that.
Pride or something?
Yeah, some pride comes before the fall. Well, to you're talking about Vanderbilt upsetting number one Alabama.
30-25, and I mean...
No, 40-35.
40-35, yeah. Sorry. And the student body stormed the field. They actually tore down the goalposts, and they carried them outside the... They got them somehow out of the stadium. These big goalposts intact. They carried it all the way downtown Nashville through Broadway and dumped it in the Cumberland River. And I think that's got to be 3/4 of a mile to a mile, maybe more. They carried these goalposts.
Well, I've never seen you speaking about all the students on the field after the game.
I've never
seen so many gathering of so many 33 ACT scores in all my life.
I think you're right.
You're talking about Vanderbilt students
here. Yeah, and Vanderbilt's a big military school too. So you know you did.
They are.
I think so. They have a good ROTC and.
Okay.
I think they.
Anyway, listen. Congratulations to the Vanderbilt Commodores. Yeah. Beating Alabama, number one Alabama, as I say, that
used to be
that. Yeah, well, they'll be. That's right. They'll be moved down. But hey, that is a miracle.
A football miracle.
Football miracle.
I'll tell my kids I was there.
Yes, rooting for the wrong team.
So you drive to Nashville. Y'all drive to Nashville, and you're there the only time in history Vanderbilt's ever beat. Alabama.
They beat Alabama. This is the first time since 1984 that they beat Alabama. The first time ever that they beat a number one team.
They were 0-60.
Yeah.
Against number one teams. Yeah. Before this.
This is a movie. This. Yes. You know. You. This is an inspirational talk somebody can give, saying it can happen. Don't ever give.
This is Rudy.
Rudy. Yeah. I will say that Nashville is a nice city to go to. The traffic can get a little irritating, but
and I have family there too, so we did be able to see my dad.
Lots of great restaurants and
so
the Commodores sail over the tide.
Well, they did.
See what they did?
There? I did. I see that. That's good.
It indeed.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
All right, some breaking news in the last half hour. Let's start right here. Today is, as you've been discussing, October 7th, the 1 year anniversary of the horrific massacre of in Israel. And today, in the middle of Israel celebrating this, air raid sirens went off, and they intercepted a long-range ballistic missile. They intercepted it, according to this website, exo-atmospheric, which means outside the atmosphere, an ICBM coming from Yemen, the Houthis, launching it towards Israel.
For those who don't know what the Houthis are, is that what they're called?
I've
heard of both Houthis. Ways.
Houthis. They are a terrorist organization, an Islamic terrorist organization in Yemen, much like Hamas is in Gaza and Hezbollah is in Lebanon. They basically have the same ideology, and they have been based in Yemen. Yemen, of course, is attached to Saudi Arabia. And it's basically a lawless place, is what I understand it. And they, the Houthis, have been also attacking U.S. military and other ships out in the, is it the Red Sea?
I think it's
so. I mean, that's who you're saying is responsible for firing.
That's where they say the rocket came from. The ICBM
And the rocket was knocked down.
It was knocked down by Sling. No, not David. By Arrow 7, I think, or some a defensive missile system. They got the rocket. It didn't land.
Well, the
but
U.S.
the fact that it's an ICBM. That to me, the Houthis have extra atmospheric capabilities. That's scary.
Our Navy warships attacked them the other day. The Houthis.
Did they?
Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know.
I do a hard TH. Houthi.
Houthi.
Like a D, but yeah.
All right.
I've actually, on the news, I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Yeah.
Houthi and
pronounced
Houthi.
Both ways?
Yes.
Both ways.
Yeah. So that
Houthi
happened today?
Houthi.
Yes. That happened today. Okay. About 2 hours ago, an hour or 2 hours ago. Okay. The other breaking news is you guys have been talking about Hurricane Milton. They've upgraded its forecast. We were talking about it possibly being a Cat 4 when it made landfall somewhere around Tampa, St. Pete. It is now forecast to become, it is already now a Category 4. It is forecast to be a Category 5 major hurricane when it makes landfall in the western coast of Florida.
When is it scheduled? When is it expected?
I believe it's expected
to make
tomorrow
landfall.
Night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night or Wednesday morning. It's traveling pretty fast, they said, over the
Gulf.
Over the Gulf. I don't know what pretty fast means in terms of hurricane moving. I'm guessing 10, 15 miles, 10, 12 miles an hour, something like that.
Yeah. So,
we mentioned before last hour, the greatest danger. I think Governor Ron DeSantis mentioned this, too, is the flying debris that will be created from the cleanup of the first hurricane. All that's piled up on the side of the road for those who have been cleaning up and trying to put their lives back together from the mess that the first hurricane created. Here comes number two with 130, 140 mile-an-hour winds.
It's going to hit a little south of where the first one landed.
Yeah.
It's forecast to.
And that storm surge. Here comes the storm surge.
Yeah.
Could be here again.
Drastic.
So.
Speaking of South Carolina or North Carolina, the Western North Carolina, I had a chance, came across a Zoom call by some government types. You're going to hear from a FEMA official whose name is Tyler Atkins. You're going to hear from an HHH official whose name is Maggie Jarry, J-A-R-R-Y. Just so you know, Tyler goes by he, they pronouns, and Maggie goes by she, her. You can tell where this is going just by me having to say that. I didn't have to, but I did. I want you to hear what their priority is. This is FEMA and Health and Human Services. This is where their priorities are laying when it comes to getting out the aid to the first hurricane. And I want you to listen. This would be Cut 11.
No. I'm not going to say they aren't here. All right, I'll give her that. I'm not going to say that. But what I can say is the residents say they don't
that's
see
not,
them.
That's not
I mean,
it.
What is worse? What
I'm
is-
sorry. I lost it. It is cut.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, okay. So
for those who don't know what's going on here.
Cut 10. Cut 10.
Hold on
sorry.
Just a minute.
Let me
explain. We have. When we say cut, that means Steve is telling Brent, our producer, what soundbite to play.
Yeah.
So right there, we had a little mix-up.
I was a little like Kamala when she lost the teleprompter. Sorry.
So what are we about to hear,
We're
Steve?
About to hear FEMA Administrator Tyler Atkins and HHS official Maggie Jarry. Cut 10.
LGBTQIA people and people who have been disadvantaged already are struggling. They already have their own things to deal with. So you add a disaster on top of that, it's just compounding on itself.
You know, the shift that we're seeing right now is a shift in emergency management from utilitarian principles where everything is designed for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people to disaster equity. But we have to do more. We have to look at policies and understand to what extent they have disadvantaged communities that had less assets, communities that had pre-existing vulnerabilities in accessing disaster-related recovery supports.
Disaster equity?
Disaster equity.
These people are whacked.
No kidding.
But they're in charge of the money.
Yeah, because that's who the Democrats want. The Democrats want these whacked out people in charge.
They do.
Because they believe they're on a righteous cause. Please help me. Was that first speaker talking about LGBTQ and she included some other kind of...
It was actually a he.
That I was listening to was a he?
First guy was a he.
It was a real he or a pretend he?
A real he. I think. I'm not sure.
You well, whatever that was that we were hearing.
Right.
It was some kind of... But it was some kind of director or executive...
Yeah. He's a spokesperson, official with FEMA, and to be, you know, okay. In their defense, Tim,
you go for
LGBT
it.
People only have 1 month to celebrate that that's in their honor, and several days, of course, and parades. So they're obviously disadvantaged.
By whacked out, I'm saying this person is messed up in the head. If they think having a response by the federal government to a natural disaster has anything in the world to do with LGBTQ and disaster equity, and these people are in charge of our federal government, why, you say, Tim? Because the Democrats want them there. This is who the Democrat Party is today. Am I being unfair?
Let me just explain to our listeners, if you missed what the comment was. What they're going for is that minorities who are disadvantaged and white people who have advantages, this is in their minds, privileges, should get different amounts when it comes to natural disaster monies from the federal government. That if you started off before a disaster being disadvantaged and therefore having fewer assets, you get more money after a disaster hits.
The LGBTQ community in this country make more on average than a straight person.
Yeah, they're at the top of the...
They're killing it. Yeah. They're doing good. They don't have any kids to take care of.
And they have a whole month named after them, plus parades all year.
So they're not disadvantaged?
Oh, terribly disadvantaged.
So I just want you to... My voice is getting...
Yeah, it's rising. It's going,
but this kind of nonsense just drives me crazy because doesn't sound to me like they're told to have to defend this stuff. There's nobody right there to say, you hear yourself talking nuttiness, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what I just kind of listened to this again. So again, who are we listening to, Steve? Because I want people to hear this again. This person is
Tyler Atkins.
Okay, Tyler, that's the first person, Tyler Atkins. So who's second?
Maggie Jerry.
Tyler and Maggie.
Tyler and Maggie.
Maggie Tyler's Jerry. Tyler's a dude.
I believe Tyler's a dude. His name is Tyler.
Okay,
and
Maggie Jerry.
Maggie Jerry, and Tyler's with
FEMA. They're doing a Zoom call?
Yes. Tyler's with FEMA, and Maggie's with HHS.
And they're being asked about the federal government's response to the Hurricane Helene.
They're announcing their intentions. They're not being asked by any. This is basically a planning.
And this is how they see the world in terms of their response. Not helping people. No matter what color they are, or what income level they are, or what who asked this, do people show up at a meeting for assistance, and does the director get up and say, all right, who's gay? Raise your hey,
K-line,
hey Bill, go over there and talk to those people because they're gay and they deserve more help than than people. Is that the way it works?
Well, that sounds like it. This is what they want to see happen. I don't know that it's underway yet, right? Or is this what they're saying we need to do?
I don't know. Yes, this was probably the DEI versions of people in these different agencies. But yeah, I think it's still cut 10.
Play it again.
LGBTQIA people and people who have been disadvantaged already are struggling. They already have their own things to deal with. So you add a disaster on top of that, it's just compounding on itself.
You know, the shift that we're seeing right now is a shift in emergency management from utilitarian principles where everything is designed for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people to disaster equity. But we have to do more. We have to look at policies and understand to what extent they have disadvantaged communities that had less assets, communities that had pre-existing vulnerabilities in accessing disaster-related recovery supports.
Yeah,
all right, Ed.
That's exactly what we're talking about. This is the way these folks. Now, that second person, who I guess is a woman, although
that's
I'm
Maggie.
Not a biologist.
That's Maggie.
Maggie,
that's right.
You're not.
I'm not a biologist, so I can't tell. Right. But so she was saying we are seeing this shift from utilitarian. In other words, we have a problem. We need to solve it. Right. We need to get money to it. Okay, to a more equity-based. Air quotes, equity-based approach, which means more money goes to disadvantaged communities. I'm with you, Tim. The LGBTQ folks are at the top of the food chain. I mean, they're killing it.
Income.
Yes. And a lot of them are what's called, you know, dual income, no kids, or just
right
out there having fun right at the gay bar, no kids, no responsibilities. So that's obviously an oversimplification, but whether or not they're disadvantaged, this idea means that minority groups as a whole, not just LGBTQ, but also other, what they call disadvantaged groups should get more money.
What Tyler was saying was that there, Tyler Atkins, I'm paraphrasing here, but this is the way it came across to me. Listen, we got LGBT people out there and we got straight people out there, and both of them's houses are flooded.
Right.
But we've got to look out for the LGBT house that's flooded, because those people have to deal with a lot of mental stress in their lives because they're gay and they're not accepted by the straight community. So we got to help them first and more.
That's exactly what they're saying. How absurd is that?
That's what I'm saying. In the midst of a natural disaster, nobody cares whether you're gay or straight or black or white or how much money you have or don't have.
Right.
People need help, and they deserve help equally as Americans, and that's what people get. The idea that people are denied help because they're...
What if you run out? What if you're giving all this money to the quote-unquote disadvantaged communities and you run out? This is... I think it's clearly unconstitutional. The government cannot play favorites.
Right.
It's equal protection under the law. If the law says we give out money for disaster
relief,
then you just give out money for disaster relief, and that's it.
Well, I could argue, I wouldn't, because I'm just thinking about this on the top of my head. I could argue that people could say, well, wait a minute. We're the ones who pay all the taxes.
Right.
And so you need to come to our town and our community and help us because we've paid in. These other folks haven't paid anything. They get welfare checks all the time, every day, all day. Now, would I say that's a good idea? No. I'm not saying that's a good idea, but I'm saying you could argue this from the other side.
When you pit people against one another, this is what you get.
Yeah.
Listen, I think black people ought to be upset at the LGBT community because gays and lesbians get the month of June as their month to celebrate. Black people get cold and dreary February.
Yeah.
A short month. Okay, so I think that black people ought to be a little bit upset about this. Make them swap months for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, we got an Italian month or?
No,
got an Anglo.
Not.
We got Anglos don't get squat.
Well,
all right.
You're privileged, Tim. Privileged.
Privileged to get what?
You're privileged all year.
I don't even know if I'm Anglo. I may be Caucasian. I don't know what I am.
Anglo's a particular type of Caucasian.
Are they? We're a subset?
Yes, you're from the English speaking.
I am. My ancestors are from the British, Great Britain area.
Yeah.
So I'm
You're an Anglo.
I'm an Anglo, which is a subset of the Caucasian.
Right. If you believe that there are multiple races, I believe what the Bible teaches. There's one race.
There's one race.
There's the human race.
Human race.
Yeah.
All right. Go, Steve.
All right. Congratulations to Corinne Jean-Pierre, who has been promoted. She is now a senior White House advisor.
Is she really?
Yep. She's doing such a good job. They gave her a promotion.
Wow.
And then, we talk a lot. You want to comment on that or can I go?
Go.
Okay.
Go.
We talk a lot about how it's not fair when men compete in women's sports, but we never really see women like joining the men's track team.
Right.
Well, this is why. In Spain, we have the Europe's first transgender soccer team, a bunch of women who are taking testosterone, and they are now competing in the Spanish football's fifth tier. They lost their first game 19-0. But
come
hey,
on, soccer?
Yeah.
Otherwise called football, or football otherwise called soccer?
Soccer, yeah. This is the.
So they lost 19-0.
19-0.
They need to go back to the women's league.
Well, they're not women, Tim. They're men.
Because they've been taking testosterone. Well, this is going to be a very interesting test. So they are in the league. They're playing all season.
Apparently. Yep.
So this is going to be very interesting. I may actually follow soccer this fall to see how this turns out. It's possible that they don't score a goal all season.
With the U.S. women's soccer team, the national team that goes to the Olympics, got trounced by a group of high school all-stars.
Yeah, 15-year-olds.
15-year-old boys.
Men. Males.
Boys. Yeah.
Boys beat the girls' Olympic team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but what does that say?
I think we all know what it says.
Yep, we do. All right, let's end here. Karine Jean-Pierre, who just got a Kamala Harris, who wants to be our president, was speaking last week, and something happened with the teleprompter. I want you to hear how good she is when she has to improvise.
Are you saying that we're going to be able to tell when the teleprompter goes out?
You might be able to tell when the teleprompter goes out. Cut 15.
Remember his number, 32. Today we got 32 days until the election. So 32 days. 32 days.
Oh, man.
Okay, we got some business to do. We got some business
got
to
no
do.
Business.
All right. 32 days. And we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end.
There's got to be some.
So how many days were there left?
I think 32 days left.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, first of all, in her defense, if you are, I've never made a speech with a teleprompter. I've had opportunities to do so. I just don't trust them. Okay. For the very reason we just heard. But if you are in the process of reading your speech off teleprompters, I think it probably would be disorienting for it to go out completely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. However, most politicians can adjust because they have something in their mind.
Substantive to say.
Substantive to say, and those things in your mind are called thoughts. And she doesn't have a whole lot of those.
You sounded just like her.
Yes.
The things plus, in your mind are called thoughts.
Plus, her voice, I'm sorry, irritates me. Not all women, by the way. I love my wife's voice.
Right.
But her voice irritates. Not just the policies, people. We cannot listen to that voice for 4 years.
There's your priorities right there.
What were you going to say, Tim? I'm sorry to take up all the time.
I think it's good that the show's over. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Are you going to any more Alabama games this year? Because they don't want you there.
No, they don't. They wrote me a letter that says, we'll pay you to stay away.
Stay away. You bring us bad luck. All right. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Tomorrow, Share-a-thon starts. So it'll be fun 3 days. We'll see you back here then.